Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome to Mile High Report Radio Horse Tracks. And now, here's what's happening in Broncos country.
Happy October, Broncos country. It's that time for the spooky season. Of course, what better way to kick things off of this time of the year than taking on the scariest team in the league? Not because they're intimidating by any means. No, it's because you're playing scary bad so far this season. That's the Las Vegas Raiders, the only team in the league with a 0-3 record. In fact, that mascot is getting really close to putting on that second eye patch so he doesn't have to watch this horrid team play. Now, with that being said, I'm your host for today's Horse Tracks. It's Ross back again for Horse Tracks for October 1st, 2022. It's a Saturday, and it's just a little bit over a day away from the Broncos' first game of the season against the Las Vegas Raiders. I know we're all pretty excited about this one, but also there's a little bit of pressure on the Broncos going to this one, I would say, between the Raiders not performing well so far, with things might already be imploding with Josh McDaniels, with that fantastic players meeting that they had. So we're going to wait and see, and pretty much hope for a Broncos win. But what I have for you guys today is we're going to be taking a look at the Broncos and Raiders history, some players with the most pressure to show up, a couple optimistic stats, some game predictions, as well. We're going to dive into a little bit of a mailbag. Of course, you can send your questions. Thank you so much. You're going to be getting a solid shout out here near the end of the show. And if you want to have your questions for next week's mailbag, pretty much any podcast that we do, at least that I do, hit us up on our social medias at Mile High Report for both, or for all three of Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can find me especially at Instagram. I am the run, yours truly runs that account. And of course, you want to hit me up on Twitter, the best way to find me is at Fourth and Long Media. That is my, I guess, personal Twitter account, and you could hit me up with all your questions there. But we're going to kick things off by just giving a brief dive into the Broncos and Raiders all-time history. Now, this is a rivalry that dates all the way back to the year 1960. So this is a this is definitely one, probably one of the better ones in the league, I would say, right now. Maybe not right now. Neither team's really been good for the last little bit, but it's a good rivalry, and we all love it. And we all love the old, I don't know, if you're alive for this game, well, hats off to you. I'm sure that most of the people listening were not, but of course, your first game in October 2nd, which is actually pretty funny that the first game that the Denver Broncos and then the Oakland Raiders played together was October 2nd, which is, of course, the day that this week's game is going to be played. The Denver Broncos took home the win 31-14. But then, of course, just after, you know, five more seasons where they won three, lost two, they would go on to lose or tie like 15 seasons in a row to the Raiders. So wasn't a great stretch there, and that's kind of why the overall record between these teams is, you have the Raiders leading the series by a record of 69-54-2. A couple ties in there as well. And recently, it has not been looking good for the Denver Broncos, who still, they are winless against the Las Vegas Raiders. They're 0-4. The Broncos have lost all four of the last matchups to the Raiders. Of course, they've been fairly close, not 2020 though, because they lost the 37-12, and then 2021, that January game, they lost by 1, 32-31, and then they would lose by 10, 34-24, and then the most recent game was that weird and kind of crazy fourth quarter where the Raiders took home the win 17-13. So the last time the Broncos beat the Raiders was in the 2019 season, where they won at home 16-15. That one was a ugly game that probably don't look too fondly on. And that was also where in the fourth quarter where it was really, really close to the Raiders winning, because they went for that two-point conversion where that pass to Hunter Renfrow failed. Luckily enough for all of us, that was when Andrew Beck was the lone touchdown scorer for the Denver Broncos. And of course, we all know how many points Brandon McManus has put up for us over the last, I don't know, what, 5 years. He's definitely been the guy when it's come to scoring. So hopefully we could change things come Sunday, because one of the stats I want to just point out is that, of course, there's a little bit of optimism, maybe, around the Broncos' red zone offense, because they finally scored a red zone touchdown for the first time last week against the Niners, and so they're perfect in the red zone, nice 1-for-1, heck yeah. But right now, the Broncos, of course, very obviously the last ranked team in red zone offense, but the Raiders are number 30 in red zone defense. So certainly something is going to have to give on Sunday, and hopefully it's the Broncos offense doing well, man. Those numbers bode well. Those numbers really bode well for the Broncos, especially with some of the matchups that we're going to see, a depleted secondary that we're going to talk about once we get to the fan questions and a little bit of the mailbag. So just keep this in the back of your head. Another sign that the Broncos should have success against this Raiders defense. Now, one thing I want to jump into before we get to our my game predictions and fan questions is kind of my short list of players with the most pressure to show up. Now, if you heard the podcast from Thursday? Yeah, I'm totally getting my week messed up here for some reason. You might actually have these names still in the back of your head. And if you haven't, go ahead. As soon as you're done listening to this one, check that one out. You can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts. But these names are familiar from that list and from that article I kind of went over. It's because, I don't know, I wasn't even trying to go off of that, but just looking at the first three players that came that kind of bounced off the list of the Broncos roster, it definitely were these guys. Now, players with the most pressure to show up, there's top three I have here, and obviously none of those are going to be on the defense, because right now we don't need to talk about the Broncos defense yet, because it's, or besides the, in the way of talking about how great it is, how elite they've been playing over the first 3 weeks. Now they're going to have a kind of a decent test here on Sunday, because Derek Carr, he's a good quarterback. Devonta Adams, he's a great wide receiver. Hunter Renfrow, he's solid. Darren Waller, one of the best receiving tight ends in the league. So that is going to come into effect. But also, it probably would be nice if Derek Carr doesn't even have time to get the ball to them, because of that shoddy offensive line going up against this pretty dang good Broncos pass rush. Also, the Broncos secondary has been clamps throughout the season so far, so maybe that continues. But the player I would say with the most pressure to show up on Sunday Honestly, I might say, I don't know. I might say Melvin Gordon. I might say Melvin Gordon for this one just because he's kind of skating on thin ice, especially to a lot of Broncos fans and Broncos country, because in his first three games, he's kind of cost the Broncos, and on Sunday, he almost cost the Broncos twice with two fumbles in that game, both recovered by the Broncos, but both very, very scary situations, situations where the Broncos fans probably had some major pucker factor as soon as we saw that ball get loose. And Melvin Gordon also cost the Broncos a touchdown against Seattle, but we don't need to talk about anyone more than it has because we've already beating the death out of that dead horse, all right? But all I'm saying, man, dude, just take care of the football. Melvin Gordon's a dynamic back. I love seeing, like, pretty much two different ways that our running backs break tackles. One, Javonte Williams just runs through the guy because he can't be stopped. And then Melvin Gordon has a he has pretty dang good vision when it comes to seeing where the holes open up on the offensive line. He's one of those few running backs I actually trust when they bounce the ball outside. And he just has a knack for making guys miss, too. Well, he has some speed, too, as well. But four fumbles this season isn't great. It is not great, especially because in his last two seasons, he's had six combined. It was three each. So with the Broncos, he has 10 fumbles now. Oh, it's scary. It's really scary. Melvin Gordon could be great for the Broncos as long as he doesn't fumble the football, because everything else is pretty dang good. He's actually the best, the most successful running back out of him and Javonte Williams when it comes to goal line rushes and scoring. So, dude, if Melvin Gordon can hold on to the football, we'll be great, essentially. And the next guy I want to kind of highlight is someone who is, supposed to be having a breakout season, someone who is primed for a breakout season this year. But so far, he's come up very, very short, and that's Albert Oyebunam, because this is almost, so Greg Dulcich, the Broncos draft pick out of UCLA, was on the four-game IR. He was, last time we heard, he was supposed to be back, for week five. So for Albert O, this is his last chance to have a good game before this rookie comes back to action, which is definitely going to put the pressure on him because he has been great this year. He's had big drops. He cannot block in the run game to save his life. In fact, the Broncos don't even use him in the run game. Pretty much the only time he's in is when the Broncos are passing the ball. So that's kind of a big red flag to defenses. So Albert O, he has pretty much one more game to show us something because he hasn't showed up at all this season. That's a lot. Honestly, he might have the more pressure than Melvin Gordon because at least Melvin Gordon's been showing up and being successful in games. Albert O, all he's done is drop passes and miss blocks. In fact, he's hardly even being targeted now. He's hardly even on the field now. So it's been a disappointing season. Let's not sugarcoat it. It's been a pretty disappointing season from Albert O. Pretty much what we're seeing from him is what we saw from Noah Fant, and we're all hoping that Albert O was going to be a little bit different from Noah Fant. All right? There's a reason why we kept him in trade Noah. Also, I feel like Seattle probably want Noah more than Albert, but that's just how it is. So, a lot of pressure on Albert O to actually just show a sign of life. I just want to see a sign of life. I want to see a flash from Albert O because we haven't really even seen a flash this season. From a lot of the players that are struggling, we've at least seen flashes. We've seen flashes from Jerry Jeudy. Cortland Sutton just been great. KJ, I would say we've seen a flash as well in his very, very limited time on the field, which is damn unfortunate because I just want him to be healthy because when he's healthy, he's good. But he has been good because he's not healthy, and it's a big old mess. In fact, we're actually going to talk about him near the end here. So, Albert, one more chance to prove it. Let's see what you got in you. But Russell Wilson is going to be probably my third player with the most pressure to show up. We all know why. We all know why. The Broncos need to beat the Raiders. It's the franchise quarterback's first game against the Broncos' biggest rival, so that's a big one in its own. But I mean, Russell Wilson, talk about guys with flashes. Yeah, we've seen a great number of flashes from Russell Wilson. We've seen him put together two complete drives, but that's about it that we've seen from his front. So let's see, Russ, is he going to cook against this depleted Raiders secondary, against this Raiders team that's giving up a lot of yards? So we'll see, especially be able to go on the road and show up. That would be just absolutely tremendous there. But those are kind of my players with the most pressure to show up on Sunday. If you have maybe a different list, or you want to go a little bit more into maybe one of these three players I mentioned, please go ahead, hit us up. You can find everything at milehighreport.com. Of course, you can drop your thoughts on social media. Hit us up either on Twitter or Instagram or even Facebook at milehighreport. And you can also hit me up personally at Fourth Long Media, whether it be on Twitter or Instagram. Let me know, and would love to share your comments, or at least respond to yours on those platforms. All right, now before we get to our fan questions, I just want to do a little bit of a game prediction, because it's just kind of my predictions. I guess we'll guess more game guesses that we're going to go with. I'm pretty optimistic about this game against Las Vegas, and I hope you guys are too. But also, if you're not, totally understand. Right now, it's cautious optimism, kind of what I had going into the season. So I guess my stance on the Broncos hasn't really changed too much. Just, you know, cautiously optimistic and hoping for the best. And I'm definitely hoping for the best on Sunday. But one of the first predictions I want to bring up is the Broncos sack number. The Raiders have given up 7 sacks so far this season. And the Broncos have certainly fared a lot better. I believe the Broncos are a little bit closer to, I think they might have actually have 7 as well. So for the Broncos, that would be, that's kind of the number that we're looking to hit right now, of course. If we take a look against Seattle, they had 2 sacks, and that was Bradley Chubb with both of those. Then the next week against the Texans, the Broncos defense recorded 3 sacks, 2 from Draymond Jones and 1 from Randy Gregory. And then going into, so that's 5 on the season before they played the Niners. And then after this game, they boosted that sack total up to 9, because the Broncos had 4 sacks against the Niners. That was 1 for Bradley Chubb, that was 1 for Randy Gregory, 1 for Mike Purcell, and 1 for Josie Jewell. Really spread the love around there, and they got after Jimmy Garoppolo, which was, honestly, that's probably why they won that game. Jimmy couldn't do a damn thing. The Niners offense couldn't do a damn thing besides that drive where they scored their touchdown in the first quarter. After that, man, it was clamp season by clamp season by Patrick Surtain, and it was just the Broncos defense being all over Jimmy Garoppolo. Especially helped when Williams was knocked out of the game as well. The Broncos had almost doubled their pass rushing success against Jimmy Garoppolo. So that was obviously a big blow for the Niners offense, and that was a big help for the Broncos defense. And so that's a lot of positives. The Broncos having a 4-sack game going into their game against Vegas, who have a way worse offensive line than San Francisco 49ers. So that's why my Broncos sack number, I'm predicting that the Broncos defense is going to be recording 4 sacks this game. I think they're going to back up their performance from last week, going to replicate it into this week, and it's going to be a great time to be a Broncos pass rusher. If I had to go super specific, I would say Randy Gregory, Mike Purcell, and Bradley Chubb. Let's just go with those three guys. One of those guys is going to have 2. In fact, it's probably going to be Gregory. And one of the things that kind of I talked about on Thursday is one thing I'm really looking forward to is that the Broncos can still do what they did against the Niners, which is putting Bradley Chubb and Randy Gregory on the same side of the offensive line, putting them on the offensive line's right side, taking away from the strong left tackle, because right tackle really is a is a poor position skill-wise for any team in the AFC West, so it's up to the Broncos build to really take advantage of that one. And heck, honestly, Nick Pitino, maybe he can get his first sack as an NFL player, so that would be awesome. But I think this is a very fair number. Would love to see the Broncos just destroy Derek Carr. And I think that these sacks are going to lead into the Broncos having, I'll go with a, when it comes to the turnover line, I will predict that the Broncos are going to generate, they're going to be plus two turnovers on the night. I wouldn't be surprised if their offense has one because, you know, look how we've been doing. So I would say that the Broncos defense is going to create at least two turnovers. I'm going to see a Derek Carr has four interceptions on the season. So I'm going to see either the Broncos going to get two interceptions, or I think they're going to have an interception and a forced fumble. And the forced fumble, that is going to actually bounce the way of the Broncos defense this time. It's been a little bit of bad luck, especially so, I think it was against Houston, where there's just a bunch that were not going our way. So let's make that happen, and it's going to happen. I think the Broncos' leading receiver is going to be Courtland Sutton in both yards and touchdowns. Courtland is just having a phenomenal season so far. He's really turned into that big play deep threat, and almost doing consistently making big plays, especially on third down for the Broncos. Definitely a favorite for Russell Wilson so far, and it's been awesome to see Courtland Sutton really turn into what we saw out of Demaryius Thomas. One of the guys that took Sutton under his wing, and so it's cool to have a guy like that. And Courtland Sutton is definitely that guy. And when it comes to final score predictions, with all these positives I'm talking about, I still think it's the Broncos are going to find a way to make this a really close one. What I'm hoping for, and it mostly comes down to the success of the offense. The Broncos' offense has only put up one touchdown each game so far this season. So I think they make that change. I think the Broncos put up two touchdowns this game. And now I'm just going to be, I guess, a little conservative with this prediction. But I'm saying the Broncos win this with a final score of 23-17. I think just how they've been making every game so far, it's going to be a close one. Probably going to be closer than it should be. I think the Broncos offense takes a step up here in the right direction by actually, like I said, being able to put more than one touchdown up on the board. So I'm just being conservative with my predictions and my hopes here. I think the Broncos put up a couple touchdowns, limit the Raiders to just a couple touchdowns in a field goal. Hopefully less. 24-13 would be an awesome score, honestly. But let me know. I think it's close. Hopefully it's not. But that's just kind of the way, the place where I'm at with this Broncos team so far this season. But we're going to wrap things up with a couple of fan questions. These two are coming from Instagram, replying to our story that we had up here. So thank you so much for these, and please give us some more. It's going to be a lot of fun. The first question comes from David Kaiser, and he asks, the Raiders have injured cornerbacks. Is this a 100-plus yard breakout game for Jerry Jeudy? Now, this is a great question because Jeudy, of course, taking a look at his season so far, he has put up a total of 130 yards and a touchdown, but 102 of those yards and his touchdown came in the opener against Seattle Seahawks, and a lot of those were yards after catch. But since then, he only has put up a total of 3 receptions for 28 yards. So, not great. But one thing that is great is that the Raiders are giving up. They're near the bottom of the league in passing yards per game defensively. I think they might be 24th. At least I think they're the bottom quartile of the league because they're giving up a whopping 267 passing yards per game. So this bodes well for Jerry Jeudy, especially they're with their depleted secondary. They're going to be, like the guy I was just talking about, they're going to have to give a lot of a lot of attention to Courtland Sutton. Hopefully it's going to open things up for Jerry Jeudy. And so, 100-yard game for Jerry Jeudy. You know what? You know what? Let's be optimistic. Let's be positive. Let's freaking send it on this one. Yes, Jerry Jeudy is going to have at least 100 receiving yards in this game, whether it be yards before catch, yards after catch. Jerry Jeudy is going to go off the... Let's be really positive with this one, ladies and gentlemen. Let's be really positive with this one, because both Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy will have 100-yard receiving games. They both break that threshold. I know that's probably a pretty hot take for what the offense has been doing. Well, luckily, the Broncos' offense, at least the first couple of games, they have been good at putting up yards and converting first downs. Against the Niners, obviously, that wasn't the case. We all know that. We all watched that horrible game. But let's be positive, and let's do this. Let's just send it. Let's just speak this into existence. The Raiders are going to give up 200-yard receivers in this game. That's going to be Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. Yes, sir. And the last question of the day comes from Johnny Sherry, and he asks, what is the status of KJ Hamler for the game? And most recently, going off of, at the time of recording, KJ was actually off the Broncos injury reports against the Raiders. And I mean, if you guys have seen that one for both the Broncos and the Raiders, it's quite the extensive list, that's for sure. But he wasn't on there, which was good to see. It's almost weird to see, and he played last week. By the reports that we're getting, should be playing on Sunday. Of course, things might change by the time this is posted, or maybe I'm just I haven't caught the latest news. So if I'm wrong, please let me know, guys. I'll always admit to that, and would prefer to admit to being wrong. At least kind of hack at this thing and just say that we suck, and be just outright bold with just the truth. All right. It seems like he should be good to go for Sunday, and it should be an interesting one because he had a few targets. I think he also had 40 snaps played against the Seahawks. Of course, he was out week two against the Texans, and last week he was on the field for 19 snaps, but he did not get a single target. So maybe with Jerry Jeudy and Courtland Sutton taking a lot of the attention away from this even depleted and just bad Raiders secondary, maybe we can even see KJ get things going for the first time this year, which would be a pleasant surprise for all of us, because there's a lot of the Broncos fans who are kind of out of patience when it comes to KJ. So I would love to see this. That's honestly what I'm rooting for most. I know Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy are probably going to have good games, but as long as KJ's in this game, he's one of the players I'm rooting for the hardest, because his story has been just incredible for what he's been able to battle through. And I have a lot of respect for him as a player and as a person. So I would love to see things really just get going for KJ for really the first time in his career. That is what I'm rooting for. I hope you guys are rooting for that one as well. But that is going to wrap it for this edition of Horse Tracks. And thank you guys so much for tuning in. It's really just been a pleasure. And I know we're all super, super excited for things to finally get underway in Vegas, in the desert. And hopefully the Broncos are going to be able to come out of this week with the win. Say, at least tied for first place in the AFC West. And heck, who knows, maybe the Chiefs can blow it this week against Sunday Night Football. Well, I guess it won't be blow it. It's a tough game. They're playing the Bucks, of course, in Tampa. So, hopefully... I'm rooting for Tom Brady. I am rooting for... Gross. Gross. But I want them to beat the Chiefs. So, I guess I'm rooting for Tom Brady for one of the very, very few times in my life. And if the Chiefs lose, Broncos win. Broncos are going to be first place in the AFC West, and the Raiders are going to be 0-4. And heck, if the Raiders lose this week, you could probably call it done. You'd probably just put the kebab in their season, and maybe even Mike McDaniel's tenure. Now, last time he wasn't fired for poor performance, that was a part of it. He was fired for recording the opposing team's practices and like the mini Spygate. But you know, that is of course just the Belichick way. But thank you so much for tuning in. Like I said, you can catch us anywhere. If you haven't yet, go ahead to hit that follow button on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you're listening from. Go ahead and also just pin the website, Mile High Report, all that fun stuff there. Follow us if you haven't already on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Mile High Report. But with that being said, my name is Ross. I'll be signing off. And just remember, Broncos country, let's ride.